Agencies have until the end of 2016 to store all their email records electronically, and until 2019 to store all electronic records in their original formats. Most agencies tell the National Archives and Records Administration they'll meet those deadlines, but the line between what's considered a federal record and what's not is getting blurrier all the time. Jason Barron is of counsel at Drinker Biddle and former director of litigation at NARA, writing about some best practices federal employees can use when tweets and texts and even Snapchats are government records. Jason, it's terrific to have you on the program today. I note that your former boss, the chief records officer at, former colleague at the National Archives, Paul Wester, the chief records officer, is talking about this transition from the digital environment that we've lived in for the past several years to an environment where federal employees can theoretically be creating records almost on an ongoing basis. And you mentioned before we went on the air that you were at the Digital Government Institute's 930 Gov conference where he spoke last week. What was your takeaway from his comments, and what thoughts and questions did they generate in your mind? Thanks for coming on today, Jason.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here. Paul Wester, as chief records officer, gave an eloquent set of remarks before a packed house of many hundreds. Paul was emphasizing the 2016 and 2019 deadlines. He was emphasizing the capstone policy that I can talk about for email. But he also made a point of saying that we're in this brave new world of messaging, and that electronic messaging is not just email. It can include all sorts of other communications, like chat, like instant messaging, like text messaging, like voicemail. And all of these communications technologies can generate federal records under the definition of what a federal record is. And so for federal employees, like I was for 33 years, it is incumbent on everyone to understand what the rules are and how what the communications that they're talking, whether it's on their own device or from their desktop, can be defined as federal records.
That spread has been challenging. I mean, just ever since I've been covering the federal government, that has been challenging for federal employees. And it only gets worse as we get into the idea of bring your own device. And you and a colleague of yours are writing about that, that challenge. We see federal employees with federal devices that are doing personal business sometimes, not in a nefarious way. They just happen to be in an event, take a picture of their kid playing softball, and that's on their device. We see cases where federal employees are bringing their own devices, and the mishmash just becomes more and more complicated.
Well, this is absolutely the case. We all, those of us of a certain age that entered government in the 20th century, we're used to having a set of IT applications that were run by an IT department. And then we got email, and then we got, in the 1990s, the ability to access the internet. And then in the 2000s came mobile devices. In all of these technological advances, the ability for employees to create and to receive communications that could constitute federal records have proliferated in all sorts of forms. So what I've been writing about is something called shadow IT. I think your listeners know about BYOD, bring your own device policies, and there are complications in terms of what is personal and what is official on those devices. But there's a larger issue, which is where anyone who works for the government and also in the private sector is empowered by their CIO, by their IT department, to go to the internet. And so we use such applications as Google Drive or Dropbox or Box to store documents, and we go to Gmail and Yahoo and other services, and in extraordinary cases, although it's very rare, even have a private email server. But putting that aside, the fact is all of us are in some ways guilty of using the best technologies at hand, either on our smartphone or from our desktop. And the question is, it's a governance question. How do organizations, both federal agencies as well in the private sector, get a handle on what should be done by employees, because there are laws in effect, including in the federal space, the Federal Records Act and the Freedom of Information Act.
Your reference to the email server, which I imagine is directed toward former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, reminds me that that's really the impetus of the focus that I've been hearing all over the federal landscape just in the last 2 or 3 months, I would say. As the discussion about the email server of Secretary Clinton has got particularly heated. And what I find fascinating, Jason, is I'm not hearing about it in our world in the political way that I hear about it in the general media. I hear about it from just the conversational perspective of what's okay and what's not okay and what is, I guess, acceptable and not acceptable, but what can I get away with and what I can't. And you and your colleague, Amy Ramsey Marcos, have a list of 6 best practices that I'd like to review in turn if we can. And I'm going to link them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth so people can find them. But the first one that you and Amy write about is developing an information governance policy that covers the emergence of shadow IT in the workplace. It sounds to me like what you're getting at is a recognition that the genie's out of the bottle and there's no way we can get around shadow IT. Is that a fair read on my part?
I think it is. The genie is out of the bottle in that the CIOs of the world and executives, SESs and other seniors in government want federal employees to use efficient means of communications. And so that may well mean sometimes to use applications that are not controlled by the IT department. And so what we put together are some rules of the road for best practices for individuals when inevitably they are going to go and use applications or communications technologies that are not controlled by the IT department. And there, shall I go through what we have talked about here?
Sure.
Okay, so I think it's first that management in federal agencies and, of course, in the greater world need to develop what I call a robust information governance policies that at least account for the emergence of these shadow IT applications in the workplace. Many of the policies in place in government are really written decades ago, and so there needs to be a wake-up call across the federal government to look at what are email policies and what are policies with respect to internet applications, and update them with the knowledge that people do go out and use these. They are enabled to, and that when they do, they should take steps in the federal space to ensure that what they are communicating or what they are preserving outside the control of an IT department, if it is a federal record, it needs to be copied or migrated to a federal system, to an official email system or to a document preservation system. So one has to look at policies. Second, we need to educate employees. Employees need to be trained, understand what the environment they work in, and to understand what is a federal record and what's not, and so that they are sensitized that when they are doing these, when they are using these communications means and using these applications, that they could in fact be creating federal records. Some agencies are very good about having yearly training systems, other training programs, others are not. But there should be some sort of consciousness raising on the part of the government. Now, I can go on, but I really want to emphasize that there are technological challenges to this. It's not so easy to reprogram phones to make sure that text messages are copied automatically to official record-keeping systems. So I get that, and I think CIO and IT people get that. But there should be a conversation at each agency acknowledging what's going on and having some clear rules of the road. For example, at the Department of Homeland Security, DHS prohibits, so I understand, employees from going out and using Gmail from the desktop. Some high-level officials got a waiver of that, but they've reversed policy when this came to light in the last month or two. That may be an extreme situation for DHS. It may not hold for other agencies, but at least there should be a conversation, what I would call an information governance conversation at the beginning, or at least right now, starting right now, because of the issues that are hot and that are on everybody's minds. I'll say one last thing about my six steps here, which is practice what you preach. To the executives in a C-suite, which are in the government context, senior executive service people, you set an example. And so if high-level officials are using private communications networks for public business or putting federal records in spaces that are not controlled by IT, well, then they should figure out what is the right thing to do under the 2014 amendments to the Federal Records Act. Make sure they copy the communications or copy the documents and set an example for everyone else.